Welcome to the June 6, 2010 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today is Graduate Sunday. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled Dangerous Expectation. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. It is wonderful to see all of you this morning. Wow, it feels like it's been since I had a baby since I saw everybody. I mean, my wife had a baby. It is good to be back. We've been gone with a baby and doing a lot of other things. And I guess we had Youth Sunday a few weeks ago. That's when you saw me last. So whoever did the Minister of Announcements job, did they do a good job? Did they do a good job of Minister Announcements? Not as good as, oh, thank you. Thank you. It is exciting to see everyone in church this morning. It's especially emotional day for families of our high school and post-high school graduates. It's a great day to come together to celebrate all that God has done, and mostly that God is alive, and we're thankful for that, and that He allows us to come and worship Him. And so we welcome you to College Park Baptist Church, and we thank you for coming this morning. We would like to find out who is in attendance this morning. The way we do that is on the inside aisle of every pew, there's a pew pad. We invite members and guests alike to fill that out. Put your name down, check the appropriate boxes, and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out. Once it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started, that would be great. We do ask, once it gets back to that first person, if you could tear out the pages that were written on this morning, that'll help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Let's see, several announcements that we'll make. Today there is children's time, so that's when all the kids come down. Our family ministry intern with children, Casey, is doing our children's time this morning, and we're excited for you to come down and to meet with her. That is going to be right after hymn number 231, so y'all come on down to be with her. Let's see. Other announcements you'll find listed are opportunities for the week. And while you're doing that, I want to recognize Mr. Roger Jones from Mountain Outreach announcement.
Thank you, dear. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Good response there. I need to give you a quick update on Mountain Outreach. The food sign-up sheets are out on the table in Mountain Outreach. And motel rooms, if you're going, you need to sign up. We only have 50 rooms, and that's July the 4th. So for us to be able to get additional rooms may be a problem. Next Sunday is Father's Day. If you haven't bought your father a present, that's good, because we're going to give you the opportunity to make a donation to Mountain Outreach in his name, and he doesn't have to worry about that tie that he didn't want. We have so far this month $10,440. That's getting close to the time that we need to be raising $5,000 a week for the next 3 weeks to reach our goal. So if you haven't done so, you need to get that on your list, and we would appreciate it. I had two people to respond to my request for my birthday gift to be donated to Mountain Outreach, and thank you for those who did that. Thank you now.
Just in case you need a father to donate in the name of, I'm a new dad, so you can donate in my name. That we have four new dads that just in the last month. See, I'm trying to help Mountain Outreach. You can, okay, good. Just an opportunity. If you don't have a dad, you have a dad. Everybody has a dad, but you can donate in my name. That would be an honor for me. So, let's see. Any other announcements? We have preschool day camp coming up. Not a week from Monday. We are inviting all the preschoolers to come and hang out with us from 9 to 11, aren't we, Casey? Yeah. And we're going to be excited about that. We'll have the elementary day camp in July. We're trying a little bit different setup this time. So preschool day camp starts a week from tomorrow. Our summer Bible study series, the 10, starts Wednesday, June the 16th. We have a hot dog cookout that night, so want everybody to come be a part of that. Other things are listed there in your announcements. It is Graduate Sunday, so that means there is a processional and a recessional for the graduates in just a moment, and we will invite you to stand at the appropriate time to recognize them as they come in. So are there any other announcements? Okay. It's exciting to be together again, to be together on Sunday morning when we recognize that Christ is alive. He is risen indeed. Guests, we welcome you. We thank you for being here this morning. We want to say a special welcome to you. You've already given us your information. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They would like to give some information to you. So just raise your hand if you're a guest this morning. They want to give something to you. Inside this packet of information, you will find a letter from our pastor, as well as some information and newsletter. So just raise your hand as the ushers come back down the aisles now. They will be glad to give you one of these packets of information. So thank you for coming this morning. We got lots of visitors. So we know it's warm, and. It's running as hard as it can. Isn't that right, Mitch? Yes, he gave me a thumbs up. So the air condition is running as hard as it can, so we appreciate your patience with us with that. It is time for us to worship together and have our procession of graduates. Would you stand now?
God, how good it is to be among your people this morning. Lord, to be in this place, to worship you, and Lord, to know that you are here with us. And Lord, I ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, that we would hear your voice, that we would know your presence. And Lord, that we would respond in worship with all of our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength. Lord, that we would worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, that we would give all of us, all of ourselves, to you this morning. We praise you for your presence and for your love and your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Rise. the kids to come up. How are y'all this morning? Good. I want to know, have your parents ever given you a rule that you had to follow? Yeah. How many of you have a bedtime? Yeah, you have to go to bed at a certain time. Well, I used to have to do that too, and I want to tell you a story about when I broke a rule. My parents gave me a rule that I had to be home at a certain time when I got my license. And so I broke that rule one time, and I disobeyed my parents, and I got punished for it. How many of you have gotten punished for something that you did? It's not very fun, is it? No. No, I was so angry at my parents when they punished me, and they took my car away from me. How could they do that? That's not fair, is it? No. But, you know, my parents gave me that rule so that because they love me and because they were looking out for me and they wanted the best for me. And today, Raymond's going to tell you a story from the book of Matthew when Jesus told his disciples that if they loved him, that they would follow his rules that he gave to them. Okay? Okay, I want to pray for y'all. Okay? Dear Jesus, we just thank you for this day, and I thank you so much for how you just love each and every one of us, Lord. And I just pray that this week that you will challenge these kids to just follow the rules of their parents and at school. And in your name we pray, amen. And this week I want you to think about a rule that you need to follow, okay? Okay, bye.
Moms and dads, they grow up pretty quick, don't they? It's an exciting day for us to stop and to recognize our high school class of 2010 and our post-high school class of 2010. This will be a few moments. Each first of the post-high school, they're going to come up and introduce themselves and just tell a little bit about what their plans are. And then they'll go back and sit down, and then we're going to recognize the high school class of 2010. So, Becca, come on.
Hi, I'm Becca Christ. I'll be graduating in December from Appalachian State University with a degree in English Secondary Education. In the fall, I'll be student teaching. And if any of you know of high schools anywhere in America that are hiring, let me know. Thanks.
Good morning. My name is Donna Henson, and I have graduated from Forsyth Tech in medical assisting. And I'd like to say a very special thank you. First of all, due to my maturity, I would really like to thank God that I got through the program. Because there were many times that I questioned and I prayed, am I doing the right thing at this point in my life? And all along the way, God kept telling me, this is for you. This really is for you. Keep on. And I especially want to thank my husband, Bill, who has always, always been at my side and my greatest supporter. I'd like to thank my children, Maggie and Elizabeth and William. And also, I'd like to thank my mother, who isn't here, but just to say, my mother cooked a lot of meals for us during the last 2 years. And all of my family, they have been my cheerleaders, my encouragers, my supporters. But most of all, they have just had patience beyond belief for those nights when I would get the question, what's for dinner? And my response, 9 times out of 10, was, I have no idea. So I'm currently job hunting, and this is a task in and of itself, but I'm really looking forward to finding a job. And I know that God was the one who led me into this new point in my life, and I feel sure that he's also going to find the right place for me to work so that I can use my skills and my talents to help people and to also glorify His name. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Bryn Hobson. I just graduated from East Carolina University with a degree in communications and a business administration minor. And I'll be heading back to Greenville to go back to school in August to start my master's in health communication.
I'm Stephanie Morris, and I just finished up at ECU with a Master's of Education in Instructional Technology. Right now my plans are just to hopefully stay in my current position. I teach business and computers to middle school students.
Good morning, I'm Whitney Purnell, and I graduated from Salem College as a communication major. I'm now working for Consinity Marketing and Technology, and I'd like to thank you all for the love, prayers, and support you've shared to help me in my faith and my Christian walk. Thank you.
That's the post-high school class of 2010. You will notice on the you have an insert that lists several others that we want you to take note of, and one that was unintentionally left off. Barry Merritt graduated from Appalachian State in December, and I think he's job hunting too. So if you know anybody, but there we're very proud of all these graduates, and we're excited now to turn our attention to the high school class of 2010. Before they come, I want to give them a little picture. If you're a family member, if you're a prayer partner for, if you have taught Sunday school, if you have, if you're in the youth group with them, if you have done anything to support the high school class of 2010, will you stand right where you are? All the family members, everybody. Now, y'all look at all the people that love you and support you and are excited to celebrate with you today. Y'all can be seated. This is the class of 2010. Marcus.
Hello. I'm Marcus Kratz. I'll be going to NC State next year with the major in sports management. And I'm just here to thank the church for everything they've done for me and also to reminisce on the good times, such as freezing Ryan Minster's boxers in the freezer, my first youth camp, or trying to conquer a sinking kayak in the Bahamas, and putting William Henson in a suitcase. I've also learned some important life lessons, like when Jeff gets mad, he looks like he's going to kill you. It didn't take me long to learn this. But in all seriousness, everyone here has welcomed me to the church, and y'all have been like family for the last 15 years. And you put up with my shenanigans and taught me Bible stories. This church has equipped me with the faith that I will have for the rest of my life. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Amber Gibbs, and I attended Mount Tabor High School. I'm planning on going to Salem College and majoring in psychology and sociology. When I was 11 months old, my parents dropped me off at my grandparents' house, and ever since then, I have lived with them. When I was younger, my parents visited me, and when I got older, I saw them less and less. Through them coming and going out of my life, I have warped my brain so that I was able to cope. I now go to counseling to help me get my thoughts and beliefs straightened out to make me have a healthy living style. My main goal in my life is to be completely opposite of my mother so I can prove to myself and others that I can be a strong person and overcome things in my life. Once I began third grade, I started getting migraines. And once I arrived in high school, the migraines got worse and worse. All 4 years in high school, I had to miss a lot of school because they got so bad. I am a studious and self-conscious worker. And so every time I had to go back to school, I had to make up my work so much quicker so that I could graduate on time with all the rest of my classmates. And now I had to apply this strategy to everything else I do in my life. Like many other high school students, I have changed my mind about what I want to major in my life because I wanted to be a normal student. Then I thought what major would be compatible for me. I wanted to major in science so that I could figure out why I got migraines. I wanted to major in psychology so I know why people would not want to have their children. I wanted to major in sociology so that I know why parents did not want their young ones. College Park has been there to help me through everything that I have been through. My grandparents are God's gift to me to survive. And College Park has allowed me not only to have these three people as a family to help me work through, but also has helped me to go to be a better part of a greater family that I know that would never grow away. No matter how far I stray, no matter how often I attend this church, or how many people in this congregation I know their names or who you know my name, I know that you are my family and that I will always love you and you will always love me and that I will become a woman that will be a strong person.
Hi, I'm Kelsey Phillips. Obviously, you can see that I have a different hat on this week from Youth Sunday. I am graduating from Mount Tabor High School. I will be attending ECU to hope to major in elementary ed. Mom and Dad, thank you so much for everything. Next year, it'll be awfully quiet at the house, but when I come home, it'll be loud again. And Marcus shared some of his favorite things, but all of mine involve all of my friends. Everybody, I will miss you dearly, and you better come visit. I love y'all so much, and I love this church so much. I came here in seventh grade, and your arms were just wide open for the love for me and my family. So thank you so much for your love and support. And this is for you, youth girls.
I'm Russ Rose. I'm going to be graduating from Mount Tabor High School, and I'm going to be attending NC State, majoring in construction, engineering, and management. I wanted to thank everybody here. They say it takes a village, and in this case, it's true. I've grown up all 18 years of my life at this church, and I want to thank everyone. I have many memories from Sunday school class with Miss Leanne to Sunday school class with David Shannon and Miss Carolyn Matthews my senior year. There's so many memories that have happened at this church, and I've had so many experiences here, and you've all influenced me to become a strong Christian. I plan to go to church at college, and I would like to share a scripture verse with you that really spoke to me. It's 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say and the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. I want to thank everyone. Thank you so much.
High school class of 2010. We thought it might be appropriate, if you haven't already started to cry, we're going to make sure everybody in the sanctuary cries. We have some memories of this class that we'd like to share with you now. Thank you.
friend's face. His wife gives him a kiss and says it's gonna be okay. It won't be like this for long. One day we'll look back laughing at the week we brought her home. This phase is gonna fly by, so baby, just hold on. For long. 4 years later, about 4:30, she's crawling in their bed. And when he drops her off at preschool, she's clinging to his leg. The teacher peels her off for him. He says, "What can I do?" She says, "Now don't you worry. It'll only last a week or two. It won't be like this for long. One day soon you'll drop her off and she won't even know you're gone. This phase is gonna fly by and you can just hold on. It won't be like this for long. Beside her till her eyes are finally closed, and just watching her, it breaks his heart, 'cause he already knows.
Very proud of this class to stand in front of them as their youth minister and now as their college minister. Next stop, exam packs. But between now and then, do not forget the faith that God has put in you, that your parents and your family has put in you, that your church has put in you. We are proud of you. And we will pray for you on this journey. And we will walk with you. Amen.
I was born in Tennessee. Late July humidity, doctors said I was lucky to be alive. I've been troubled since the day that I got here, troubled to the day that I disappeared. That'll be the day that I finally get it right. There is hope for me yet, because God won't forget all the plans He's made for me. I have to wait and see. He's not finished with me yet. He's not finished with me yet. I never really was that good in school. I talked too much, broke the rules. Teachers thought I was a hopeless fool. Alright, I don't know how, but I made it through. It's one of those things that you gotta do. I always had a knack for telling the truth. There is hope for me, yeah, because God won't forget.
Open your Bibles to Psalm 1 and then put a placeholder in 1 John 4, 7 through 21. Okay, Psalm 1 is, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." And 1 John 4, 7 through 21. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, who he has not seen. And he has given us this commandment: whoever loves God must also love his brother."
Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we know that you are the giver of life, that you are the perfect example of love and sacrificial love. And so we come to you with complete confidence that you know our hearts and our minds. You know where we're hurting. You know what our needs are. Father, we pray that you would touch our hearts, touch our minds, put aside all distractions and allow us to focus on you. Father, there's so many things that can pull us different ways in our attention and our loyalties and our priorities. We just pray that this week we would focus more on you and what you have for us. Father, we pray that you would minister through us for all the hurts and needs that are around us that just can totally consume us. We pray that we would trust you enough with those so that we can truly live a life that's victorious. One that's a demonstration of your perfect love.
sacrificial love as we minister one to another. Father, we thank you for these graduates. We thank you for the blessing that they've been to this congregation and will continue to be as they come back and forth in and out of school and other jobs and things that they'll be doing. We pray that they would have clarity in terms of your direction that you have for them in their life, at least at this point, and pray that you would bless them as they continue to walk from this place. Father, we thank you for all that you've given us. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
God of all the universe, we gather here to thank you for your almighty grace and mercy given to us all. We thank you for the love of Jesus, and we thank you for our salvation that is only gained by first knowing you. We thank you for the resurrection of Jesus. We thank you for providing us a place to gather and worship you. We thank you for all of our leaders here, our prayer warriors, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Please forgive us for our foolish pride. And Lord, we thank you for these graduates. We ask you, Lord, to help them and bless them and guide them and keep them. In the name of Jesus, amen.
I want to invite you to take out your Bible, or if you don't have yours with you, there should be one there close by, and turn with me to John chapter 14. I want to read a passage of Scripture which is actually probably pretty familiar to you, but we're going to be reading from John chapter 14, beginning in verse 23 and reading down through verse 29. It says, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You've heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. And if you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." Every year we have the privilege of standing here, sitting there, and celebrating our high school and postgraduate graduates that are leaving, in a sense, at least making a transition in their life, many of them. We give them kind of a royal send-off, which is what we want to do this morning. And each year I struggle knowing what to say to this group. I especially struggled last year because it becomes very personal at some level. The emotion of the day seems to say, well, we really don't have a whole lot more to offer them. That's what the emotion says. Now, we know that that's not true, but emotions kind of get in that and say, well, you know, it's the end, you know, and we get kind of choked up about that. But hopefully by this point, we have given them a solid foundation. We have given you something to build on, right? Your head's this way. Okay, but remember, it is a foundation, and you build on that. That's the thing, and we send you out. And we send you out with the things that we've given you and allow you to kind of sort through that. Put all those pieces together. Find out how God is going to use you, how He's gifted you. You discover for yourself, wow, He doesn't waste anything. You know, and that's a send-off point. And in our passage of Scripture today, the disciples are kind of in a similar situation. Their teacher's leaving them. You're leaving us. But the teacher was leaving them in that particular case. Jesus was leaving it, and He had told them this was coming. But Jesus really is not as quite as open-ended with His statements as we tend to be. We say things like, well, no, we love you. We love you just the way you are. Don't ever change. You're such a sweet child. You know, go discover who you are in the world. You know, get your wings and do all that stuff. Seek truth and pursue it. We say all of those things to you. Jesus wasn't like that. He didn't say that, at least not at that point. What He said is, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love that person and will come to that person and make our dwelling with said person. And then Jesus takes it actually one step further, and He says, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. So the disciples really aren't given a multiplicity of choices here, are they? They're commanded to keep the word of Jesus. He says, keep this. Show love by obedience to my commands, even after I'm gone. Honestly, we could sit back and say, well, you know what? We kind of prefer the invitational Jesus, the come and see Jesus, the Jesus who sits at the table with everyone, the one who resists harsh and unforgiving politics and religion and things of those nature. You know, and this is the Jesus that we've kind of come to know in our community. You know, this is the Jesus that we try to teach our children about, the one who is forgiving, the one who is unconditional in His love. But here, in this passage, it's a very clear mandate that Jesus lays out for us. His expectations are clear. He tells His disciples that if they really love Him, they'll keep His word. They'll keep His commandments. Now, the church could choose to pile this on to the list of everything else that you're supposed to do. Expectations, we've learned them since we were a child, haven't we? We learn how to deal with expectations. We find out what your parents want, and you try to give that to them. Then you find out what your teacher in school wanted, and you try to give that to them. Then you find out what the college wants, and if you want to get in, you'll give that to them, right? Then you find out what your friends want, and you try to give that to them. You find out what the workplace wants, the boss wants, those who are supervisors, and you give that to them. And then someday down the road, in the far, 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 far future, you have children. Right? Okay. And you find out what your children want, and if it's wise, and if you can afford it, and if it's wise, you give that to them. So we could heap expectation upon expectation. But understand, that's not what Jesus is doing. That's not what He's doing. He does not give this commandment so that they can please Him with conformity. That's not what He's about. Jesus wants His disciples. He wants us. What He wants from us is harder than completing a project, any project in school you've dealt with to this point. It's more difficult than trying to get into college. It's more difficult than pleasing the expectations that will be placed on you by professors, by peers, by whatever group wants you to go here and do that and whatever. It's more difficult than that. What Jesus wants is something that they need. But it's not something that will make them feel smarter or more gifted or special. It's not something that will make them more successful in the world's eyes. They're not going to win any awards for keeping His word. What Jesus wants is it for them to love. He wants them to love because He knows that there's not any other way to live a life of peace in this unsafe world. What graduates, you need to understand is that there may not be any other way to live in this world with a heart free from constant trouble other than Jesus' way. There may not be any other way to live freed from fear in a world that actually thrives on that and feeds off of it. Jesus wants them through this expectation, through His command. He gives them all of this because He loves them and He wants them to know the peace that they seek. The peace that God's promised. And He knows it's only through keeping His commands that they'll have that peace. And you say, well, what are the commands? We could go all the way back to the Ten Commandments. But understand, when we talk about Jesus and his commands, what comes to my mind is Mark chapter 12. In Mark chapter 12, they were asking Jesus, what's the greatest command? Choir, you got it? Yeah. Yeah. Love who? The Lord your God with all your heart. I love the choir. Heart, soul, and strength. Don't forget strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And understand, this was not new information for them. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is where that is. So for the good Jews in the crowd, they knew. This was not new information. Love the Lord your God. That is the greatest. The second greatest was what? Love your neighbor as yourself. That was not new information either. That's in Leviticus chapter 19. So this was not new. But as is typical with people, when Jesus tells us something, we try to find the least that we can do to qualify. So when he says, love your neighbor as yourself, then the next question was, okay, so who's my neighbor? What is the least that we can do and fulfill this? And then in Luke chapter 10, there's a parallel passage that Jesus begins to tell them who their neighbor is, and that's the story of the Good Samaritan. And what we find out from the story of the Good Samaritan, we find out a lot of things, but at the bottom core of that is everyone is your neighbor. Even the people that are most despised in your culture are still your neighbor. And so that's the mandate. Love everyone, even the people that are despised. And so we live with this dangerous expectation that we're supposed to love everyone. And it's in this expectation that we teach our children. We hopefully have taught our graduates to love everyone. And then we send them into a broken world. Understand, grads, you are the 9/11 generation. That's what some are calling you. Because the world changed for Americans in 9/11. Okay, in that whole scenario. And so now we go out into a world that we realize all of a sudden doesn't love all Americans. Now we go out into a world that is motivated by hate and fear. See, the rest of the world understood that already. We're just now getting it. We're a little slow on the take. And see, you know, the message of the church has to remain constant. Unfortunately, sometimes it hasn't. Sometimes we've changed our message of love to apply to only certain people. Sometimes we've changed our message of love to love only when it's safe. Sometimes we've changed it to say serve only when it's convenient. And your generation, grads, your generation is the ones that have to constantly remind us that loving others unconditionally is not an option. That's the way of the cross. You have to constantly remind us of that. And understand, you know, it's not just about convenience. It's not about comfort. It's about keeping the command of Jesus to love unconditionally. And Jesus doesn't give this command when things are going swell for him. Understand that too. This is at the Last Supper. Remember what's going on in the background? Judas is getting ready to betray him. Peter's getting ready to deny him. There's people outside that are lined up ready to crucify him. But yet he says, love all. Love everyone. He's on his feet. Excuse me. He's on his knees washing the feet of his disciples when he's giving them this command. In the worst of time for him, he's telling them to love. He says, go and love as I've loved and as I've taught you to love. For he's telling them, go and love and keep my commandments. And I don't know if you can hear it, but as I read those words, I hear compassion. I hear hurt. It's not an authoritarian statement, as I've often heard it preached. It's a voice that is hurting for those he's about to leave. And he's telling them. He's desperate for them to know the greatest secret of life. And that is to love. Fortunately for his disciples and for us, he gave someone to help us. He promised them. He said, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to be there to walk with you. And as you go from this place, understand that. The Holy Spirit is going to walk beside you. Paraclete is the name we use for the Holy Spirit. Para meaning beside. The Holy Spirit walks beside you, walks with you, guiding your steps, giving you the strength to love others, reminding you, according to Jesus, reminding you of the things that you should know, reminding you of the things that have been taught to you. Understand as you go with friends. You go with guidance. You go with the Holy Spirit. So we go into a world that's afraid. Afraid sometimes to love. You'll find that among people that you encounter. They're afraid to trust. Afraid to give themselves unconditionally. You have to change that. You have to keep God's word, not because the church expects you to, not because mommy and daddy won't expect you to. You have to establish this of your own faith, your own set of standards. That's a challenge to you, but as you go, know that we love you. We're going to continue to pray for you. We're going to continue to encourage you. The Holy Spirit walks with you. Go in love because God loves you and envisions a world where that love is shared to all people. Unconditionally and completely. God bless you. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day, the joy of this day, the celebration of this day, the sense of accomplishment that these graduates feel and parents share with them, the relief sometimes that parents feel on a day like today, and the joy that we feel as a congregation to celebrate with them. Father, we pray that you would continue to teach them through the power of your Holy Spirit that walks beside them. Not only them, but each of us as well. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. It is a day of celebration. I want to invite you, if you do not know this Jesus that we've referred to, we want to give you a chance to do that. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you a chance to respond. I'll be here at the front, be glad to share with you how you can know Jesus personally. If you're here and you're in a transition in your life and maybe you haven't realized the power that the Holy Spirit can give you to walk day by day, you're certainly welcome to come pray here. There may be some prayer warriors that will be coming, but you're certainly invited to come and pray. I'll be glad to pray with you if that's what you would like. If you're here and you see this church and go, wow, I'd like to be a member of this congregation, we want to give you a chance to do that. There are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. Whatever your desire is, we invite you to share that as we stand and sing together now. Remain standing for the benediction and follow the benediction. If you would, please remain standing for the recessional of our graduates. And please stay in place until they have exited the back of the sanctuary. Thank you. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day. Father, we thank you for the chance to worship together. Father, we do celebrate. We do express our joy. But most of all, we express our love and our adoration of you. For it's in your precious Son's name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.